Now, guys, tonight we kind of start our last push on this subject of God the Holy Spirit. I've only got three more weeks with you until I'm off for the summer. And so what I'm going to be doing is trying to summarize for you in these last 3 weeks the work that has been assigned to the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know really where to start because all of the jobs that he was given are important jobs, so I guess you could start at any place and be legit, but I have chosen to start with regeneration, that one of the great assignments given to God the Holy Spirit is to perform this thing called regeneration. Now, I think most of you know what regeneration is, but if not, let me just kind of regeneration is that thing about being born again. Do you remember, oh gosh, how many years ago was it now? 40 years ago when Jimmy Carter was president and he proclaimed himself to be a born-again Christian, and there was all of this media flap over him being a born-again Christian. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's no other such thing. I mean, if you're not born again, you're not a Christian, and if you are a Christian, you are born again. I mean, it's tautology to say a born-again Christian, but that was the big thing. That's those words, born again, or there's other terms, I guess, and regeneration are the same thing, okay? To give you kind of a handle to hold on to, when it comes to redemption, when it comes to the saving of God's people, this is how it can be summarized in kind of a simple way. We say God the Father thought it, God the Son bought it, and God the Holy Spirit wrought it. So what we're talking about tonight is this wrought-ing work of the Holy Spirit as he applies the redemption that Jesus Christ has purchased and that God the Father has planned. Okay, so this application of the work of Christ to his people, that's what regeneration is. Okay, if you are a Christian, you are regenerate. You are born from above. you're a born again Christian. Now, what we want to do is start at John chapter 3. You know, I've used John chapter 3:3 again and again and again to trick people. Actually, it shouldn't be a trick, but, you know, I do it in my systematics class every time. And what I do is quote John 3:3, and I leave out a word, and I ask everybody to supply the word. And I've done it three or four times here on Wednesday night, I'm sure. But the text goes, and he said unto Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot blank the kingdom of God. And without fail, people just again and again suggest that the word that should fill in the blank is the word enter. Well, that's the wrong word, folks. And if you've got your Bible open, you'll see it's the wrong word because that's not what Jesus says. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, gang, this is critical. I want you to notice here that Christ does not begin by telling Nicodemus that he must do something. That's how the Arminian world moves. Folks, I could run to my library right this minute, whip out a book. I think I know where it is. It's written by a name that everyone in this room would know if you were to see the author of this book. And on page like 85, he tells his readership to take five steps. If you take five steps, then you can become born again. And he lists the steps. You will notice here that Jesus does not do that. He does not start out by telling Nicodemus that he must do something, but that he must become something. You must be born again. Your nature, Nicodemus, has got to be changed. You've got to be made alive. I can sit up here and I can preach to you about the rewards of heaven, or I can preach to you about the fear of hell. I can preach to you, I can try to educate you. None of those things will ever perform this. None of those things will ever give you a new nature. What is it that gives you a new nature? God, the Holy Spirit. Folks, it's that work, and you notice that it precedes anything that ever happens to you. I mean, not happens to you, but anything that, any response that you might make. Nicodemus, we are not here sharing the gospel with you so that you as a sick person can be made well. We are here sharing the gospel with you because you need to be made alive. What you need is the rebirth. Because and at this moment, you are without life. And that's the need. And that's the function of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you can take this next step with me logically, that if that is the need, then the pre-existing condition is that Nicodemus is dead spiritually. Folks, regeneration assumes that the result of the fall was to ruin you in such a way that you are now not a living entity spiritually. You are dead. Listen to this interesting statement made in Jude 19. That's not chapter 19. It only has one chapter. So it's verse 19. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. Folks, What the fall did, among other things, it included a forfeiture of God the Holy Spirit, leaving us spiritually dead. Paul says that on a couple of occasions to the Ephesians. He says it to the Colossians. He says it in Ephesians 2:1. He says it in the Colossians 2:13. That the need of the fallen man is that he become something. He become a new creature. Folks, if you're in John, flip over just three chapters to John chapter 6. Look at this statement that Jesus makes, and he makes this a couple of places. This is John 6:63, where he says, the flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some who do not believe. The flesh is of no hope at all, ladies and gentlemen. For Jesus to tell Nicodemus to go do something would have been a useless use of breath. Because the flesh adds nothing at all. At all. So, what we're dealing with here is a spiritual entity that has no spiritual abilities because that entity is dead, and what's needed is something that only the Holy Spirit can provide. Now, gang, I wonder if you've ever seen this before in your life. And it's unfortunate if you have not. Go to John 12. I'll show you two of these. I can show you six of them, but I'll show you two quick. John chapter 12. John 12:39. It says, therefore, they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, he is bound, etc., etc. Did you notice that? Do you notice that it says, they could not believe? Not that they would not believe. It says that they could not believe. Folks, what's the difference between could and would? It's a difference between ability. You see, the Arminians talk so much about ability. We Reformers, we talk about inability. They could not believe. Why? Because of the effects of the fall was ruinous. It has left them devoid of the Spirit. It has left them in need of life. And the only way that life can be had is if the Holy Spirit sees fit to grant it. Folks, man is free to do anything he wants to do. But he is not free to do what he ought to do. What he ought to do is repent of his sin and come to Christ. But he can't. Because he is spiritually dead. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, here you are a teacher in Israel and you don't know this? Unless a man is born again, he cannot see. Why can't he see it? Because he's dead. He is devoid of the Spirit. So, what is it that, where does his hope lie? His hope lies in a work that only the Holy Spirit can produce. And I want you to see it. I want you to see the Old Testament version of John 3. We just read from John 3. Now take a look at me, with me. Not at me. Looking at me is pretty hard, I would think. But take a look with me at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Folks, Ezekiel 36 is the Old Testament version of John 3. Okay? You want a John 3 in the Old Testament? Well, here it is. Notice what is said, guys. I'll read verse 25, but it's in verse 26. God is speaking. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. Here it comes. And I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That, ladies and gentlemen, is an Old Testament definition of regeneration. Do you know what God has done for us? He took dead spiritual entities and he ripped out a heart of stone, rock. No life in rocks. He ripped out a heart of stone and replaced it with something that was alive. He created a new creature. He born you again. Because that was the need. The need was for you to be brought to life. Because as a result of the fall, you exist now devoid. Isn't that a good way to say it? Jude said it. Devoid of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes along and grants you life. Now, go back to John 3:3. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay. But now I am born again. What do I have now? Oh, I have abilities. I didn't have any spiritual abilities prior to the regeneration, prior to the rebirth. But now that I'm born again, now I have abilities. What abilities? Well, it says it right there in John 3:3. I see. I see. You see, the unregenerate man, that's the non-Christian man, the man that does not have the spiritual regeneration, The unregenerate man looks at sin and he says, well, you know, everybody's a sinner. We all sin. Well, that's true. But let the Holy Spirit grant you life, and you won't talk like that. You'll say, my sin. I see my sin as a stench in the nostrils of God. That's the first thing I see now that I've been born again. The next thing I see is the provision that God has made for my sin. I see the finished work of Jesus Christ. How do I see it? Because of the work of God the Holy Spirit in regeneration. Of all the works that the Holy Spirit has been assigned to do, to me, this is the most thrilling. We'll look at some others in the last 2 weeks, but that He would take us in our spiritual, not just malaise or indifference, but deadness, and bring us to life. And now I'm a new creature. And I begin to see things that I've never seen before. I see my sin, I see Christ Jesus, and I long for this remedy for the thing that is going to separate me from God. My sin. That's what the Holy Spirit did, folks. If you are seated here tonight and alive in Christ, it is because it all started with the Holy Spirit's regenerative work. It is called in some places effectual calling. If you want to do a little study one day, just get yourself and look up the word calling. I mean, it's all over the Bible. Just study calling for a while. But there's a calling that produces an effect because the Holy Spirit is behind it and in it and doing it. It's a calling that has an effect, and thus it's called effectual calling. Some of the effects, some of the outcomes of this regenerative work, this effectual calling, some of the things that now take place because I'm alive. I was a rock. At the center of my spiritual being was a rock, but now it's not a rock anymore because of what the Holy Spirit has done. It's a pulsating heart. What are some of the effects of that? First of all, the reigning power of sin ceases. Now, gang, I didn't say that we don't sin or are not tempted to sin. I'm saying the reigning power that dominates me. As an unregenerate man, I would never choose a Bible study over a rock concert. And as a regenerate man, I might not either. But at least there is a shot that the reigning power of sin is no more. It's broken. And Paul in Romans 6 calls us to not let sin reign. But now I can respond to that piece of that rule or that summons. Because I'm alive. I've been brought to life by God the Holy Spirit. And so now, because I am alive, I begin to act in accord with this newly acquired spiritual power. I find changes that begin to take place and unfold in my life. I find that I get, not in a moment, but over time, my desires change. I find that all those dirty jokes that I used to laugh at with the guys around the water fountain, I don't want to hear those anymore. Because I begin to live out what now has been wrought inside of me by the Holy Spirit. He has imparted to me I'm a new creature, and slowly but surely I begin to act like one. Folks, that's a hugely important principle, because you should be able to look at your own life and say, where am I acting out some of the principles that are consistent with my new nature? If I have that new nature, I will be acting out in at least some ways in accord with it. I can't tell you how many times in the course of 50 years worth of ministry I've had people sit in my office and tell me all these things that they're doing and all these things that they're up to, and they'll say god-awful things like, well, everybody sins, you know. So this affair that I'm in, you know, that's just my sin of choice. Folks, regenerate people don't talk like that. They might have an affair, but oh, how grieved they are that they did. They might live in it for a few months, like David did with Bathsheba, but once he was quickened out of his slumber, he writes Psalm 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Thirdly, the soul now cooperates with God with this new will that I have. Folks, this work that I described earlier in regeneration, that is called a monergistic act. You don't cooperate with that one. God performs that on his own. That's what monergistic means. It means one power. God grants you that new heart. But and he has to, because I'm dead and I can't create it myself. But after he's granted it to me, I'm alive. And now I cooperate when God says, thou shalt not, I say, I'm with you. Amen. I don't want to do that because God said, don't do that. The soul cooperates with God the Holy Spirit. And then two other things that don't get much mention around here or anyplace else in the evangelical world, I don't think. You do realize that at regeneration, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you. Remember that whole thing about the temple of the Holy Spirit in, is it 1 Corinthians 3, I think? Did you not know that you are, the Holy Spirit resides within you? Gang, if that is true, and I challenge you to go see that it is, if the Holy Spirit dwells within you, a life of continued willful disobedience simply demonstrates that that Holy Spirit is not within you. If he's there, He's producing some changes. They come slowly, yes, and maybe too slowly for some of us. But he's producing changes. He's changing my appetites. He's changing my desires. He's changing my definitions. He's changing my schedule. He's changing my priorities. That's why he's taking up residence within us, is to make us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And some of that ought to be observable to you, and it ought to be observable to me. Not because I'm the preacher, but because I'm another regenerate. It ought to be observable. It ought to be observable to each other. I should be able to see something that has come about as a result of this new heart that God gave me. Oh, the trajectory of my life was one thing, but it ain't that anymore. There's an altogether different trajectory. And then the final thing that I will mention tonight, that is one of the effects of regeneration, is this thing called adoption. That we are adopted into the family of God. Again, that doesn't get much headlines, not here or anyplace else. And yet, as a result of the union that I have now in Christ, I and him and he and me, I have become a son or daughter of the living God. That's what adoption is. It's just I think you know that adoption is legal. Adoption is permanent. Once you are adopted, you can't unadopt. Do you remember that girl that from Nashville who adopted the child, I think from Russia, and didn't like the child, and she left the child, and she got sent to prison. You can't unadopt. So once the Holy Spirit has granted me this new heart, I've been drawn into a union with Christ and adopted into his family, it's permanent. If I were ever a son, I'm still a son. If I were ever a daughter, I'm still a daughter. And what I'm working on is likeness. That is, I want to be more like the one who adopted me. That, ladies and gentlemen, is just one of the assigned tasks given to the Holy Spirit, and we'll look at more next week. Let's quit. Heavenly Father, would you open our eyes to see the beauty of what you have done through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us to yourself, to start this whole new life that you gave us. It's a start over. We get a fresh start, a new beginning. We get to hear that our sin has been forgiven, and then we are told to go and sin no more. And now, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we've got a chance to do that. Oh God, would you make us more and more into the image of the Son of God, the one who in your eyes is altogether lovely. He is also lovely in our eyes. Enable us to become more like him. Father, if you have brought people in here this evening who have not yet met this Savior of ours, would you grant them what you granted to us? Would you grant them the eyes to see and the ears to hear? Would you give them a new heart? And then show them the enormity of their sin and the magnitude of the love of God in Christ Jesus. We pray that, of course, in Jesus' name. Amen.